Well, good afternoon, folks. I want to thank the people that helped work on this Japanese beetle project. Dave Keppard, Mike Klein, Young Ki Jo, Eric Rebeck, Terry Davis, and Royal Fader all worked on this. Japanese beetle is the most destructive pest of golf course turf in the eastern U.S. And it's not just the grubs that are the problem. The adult beetles themselves cause a lot of damage. They can cause extensive defoliation of linden trees and a variety of other trees, shrubs, and flowers. And I found out in the last 5 years working on this project that people who hate Japanese beetle the most are flower growers and especially rose growers. They are vicious and they're hated Japanese beetles. Japanese beetles are also a fruit production pest, a very serious economic pest in blueberries and raspberry production, and a backyard fruit pest as well. The search for parasitoids of Japanese beetle began about 1920, soon after people realized the destructive potential of Japanese beetle in New Jersey. Quite a few parasitoids were introduced and several pathogens were discovered over the years. And if you go through the literature, the ones that are considered to be the most important and have the best potential for biological control are Typhia vernalis, Istochita aldrichi, which is a fly parasitoid, Pinobacillus papillae, which I've been working on as a protozoan. Pinobacillus is the milky disease pathogen. Ovovesicula is the one that I'm working on, which is a protozoan pathogen. And several nematodes, heterorhabditis and others. We started with a survey in Michigan to find out if we had those most important natural enemies there. So I'm just going to do a quick review of when we started this project, and then I'll tell you what we found out the last couple years. So we looked at 50 locations throughout Michigan. We did not find Typhia vernalis. We did not find Istochita in Michigan. This is 1999 and 2000. We only found Ovovesicula, the protozoan pathogen, at 2 out of the 50 locations, and they are both near Battle Creek in Kalamazoo, Michigan. When you compare that with a survey that was done in Connecticut, where they looked at 50 locations in Connecticut, there was a big difference in what we had. In Connecticut, milky disease was more widespread. 4% of the grubs were infected. Ovovesicula, 24% of all the grubs in Connecticut that they collected were infected with ovovesicula, only 0.2% in Michigan, and that was only at 2 locations. Stictospora, which is a Gregorin gut inhabitant, had become established in Michigan and was spreading. So based on those results, we decided to introduce Istochita, Typhia, and Ovovesicula papillae. Ovovesicula was described by Hanula and Andriatis in 1989. They did the original work with field populations too, showing a significant level of infection in the field and a reduction in egg production by females that were infected. When the larvae become infected, the infection site is primarily in the Malpighian tubules, and you get a knotting and swelling of the tubules when they become infected. And that probably causes a lot of dysfunction, and just like in humans, if your kidneys are not working right, you're probably not real healthy. We collected the ovovesicula from Connecticut and also Istochita there and Typhia from North Carolina. And they were introduced at Typhia 3 sites, Istochita 4 sites, ovovesicula. We had 3,000 infected grubs that we dug in Connecticut, introduced them to 4 sites in Michigan. Going back 3 years later, we did not recover Typhia vernalis after those introductions, and we did not recover Istochita. These were at golf course introduction sites. We did find ovovesicula everywhere where we introduced it, and it's 3 out of 3 instead of 4 out of 4 because one of the golf course sites became a subdivision. Now, continuing the work into 2005, so we're now 5 years after introduction, the introduction sites are highlighted in blue. Notice up in the Battle Creek, Kalamazoo area where we have the tan shading in the background, the infection levels were much higher in 2005 because that is where ovovesicula had been found originally in 1999 before we introduced it in that part of the state. But if you look to the bottom half of that table, over in southeast Michigan, where we didn't have Ova vesicula, it was only established where we introduced it, and even 5 years later, it was only on the fairways where we introduced it. We introduced it to about a 30 by 30 foot plot area, and by this time it had spread all the way up and down an entire fairway, but we weren't seeing it in adjacent fairways yet. But in 2006 we did. It started to show up in the adjacent fairways, and meanwhile over in the Battle Creek Kalamazoo area, everything was heavily infected, probably from some spread from these natural populations. We're looking at the impact of Ova vesicula on Japanese beetle populations by comparing the survival of grubs from October to April at sites with and without Ova vesicula. And because this is a new introduction into Michigan, we have that luxury. We can go to locations where we don't have Ova vesicula yet, or different levels of infection. So on the x-axis is percent infection at that golf course site, and the y-axis is grub mortality going from October to April. And you can see we had more mortality where there were higher levels of Ova vesicula infection with an R-square of 0.45. Similar results in 2007. That is neat, but the R-square is a similar value there. Again, the grubs did not survive as well at sites with Ova vesicula. And if you add those up and compare them, we're looking at a mortality of about 28% where there's no Ova vesicula, and 57% where Ova vesicula is established with somewhere between 5 and 50% infection levels in the grubs. We also looked at adult beetles the last 2 years because of the work that Haniel and Andriotis did, saying that they didn't produce as many eggs, and we collected females at three different times during peak activity in July and early August. And we dissected the females and counted the number of enlarged eggs in the females. And we noticed something when we started analyzing the data, that there was a big difference in different sites. And it seemed to match up with the insecticide use at the golf courses. So we went back and looked at this again, and we talked to the superintendents and got the detailed pesticide application information. And the golf courses that only used insecticide in the fairways, and maybe not even all the fairways, the females were producing a lot more eggs. And the golf courses that treated wall to wall, the females were producing less eggs. And when you compare them, you're looking at about a 40% reduction in the eggs that were produced. So we had to get this taken care of first before we could determine how Ova vesicula affects the population. So, you know, we did that, and then we were able to look at Ova vesicula just by going to the sites where they only treated in the fairways, because then we had a standard level of eggs being produced. And when we did that, we could compare the healthy females with the infected females. So we had to dissect about 150 females from each location just so we could get 10 or 20 infected females for comparison. So that's why the end value is so different there, the numbers that were looked at. When we teased out the eggs and counted them, there was a big difference. There was 4.4 per female, per healthy female, and only 1.7 per infected female. That's a decrease of 61% in the infected females. But remember, these were only levels, the infected females were only about 17 to 20% of the population. So if you want to put these two effects together that we've looked at so far, the reduction of eggs produced by females and also the larval mortality, you can start with an imaginary population of 100 females. We'll say each female produces 30 eggs. That's 3,000 for the healthy females. If 17% are infected and they produce 61% less eggs, that's a total of 2689 in the site where Ova vesicula is active. Then we assume all of those eggs survived to larvae in October, and we look at the mortality that we're seeing going from October to April, which was 57% where Ova vesicula is active and only 28% at other sites without Ova vesicula. We have a difference, a population reduction of about 60% due to Ova vesicula. So that's our estimated difference in population it could be quite a bit different than that, because we don't know what happens from April until July, and we're a little suspicious because we have 57% of the larvae that are infected and only 17% of the females. So there may be some additional mortality in there. So if we can reduce populations by 30%, that will get the grub density at a lot of these golf courses down below a threshold level of about 10 grubs per square foot, and really could reduce the amount of insecticides used on these golf courses. And then last thing, we've taken advantage of the fact that we now know the adults are infected. So we were digging grubs to spread this pathogen around, which is real time consuming. So now we can do it with adults. So we had a biocontrol field day over in Detroit area. We had an article in the Detroit Free Press, and that's when I met these people that hate Japanese beetle. They came out in droves. We didn't even have a place to park all these cars. There were 500 people that came to this field day, all to get their little bag of infected Japanese beetles to take back to all parts of Michigan. And that's all. Thank you.
We have time for one question. I have a question.
Okay.
I'd like to ask you, as you pointed out, Japanese beetles lay between 30 and 40 eggs in a lifetime, and you saw a difference in the eggs in a snapshot.
Right.
Three or four versus one. Is it possible that the egg development is simply delayed in the infected beetles?
Yeah, we don't really know that, Dan. The females continue to mature eggs throughout July and August, so we're getting a snapshot at one period of time. It could be delayed. We probably should be looking at the whole season.
With Stictospora, we saw about a 2-week delay in the development of the beetles to adulthood. So
That's a good question. We did look at mid-July, late July, and early August, and we got the same snapshot at all three times.
Thank you very much. Very interesting.